Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there today? Hey, yeah, we good. It's Monday. We are live at Blends 2. If you can hear my voice, whether you are listening to me live or you are listening on the podcast, feel free to join us every Monday at Blends 2 Cigar Bar at 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. We go up every Monday. We always have good conversation. We got good people. We got good drinks. We got good cigars. And we having a good-ass time, man. And I want you to be a part of it right here at Blends 2. Again, that's 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville with the Commissioner's Conversation live. This week, we're going to talk about Tom Brady. Tom couldn't keep his ass at home. he couldn't stay home. Tom has announced that he will be returning back to the NFL. We're also going to talk about this whole situation in New York, man. Kyrie Irving was at the Brooklyn Nets game in the Barclays Center, sitting courtside, but he wasn't sitting with his team. He was sitting directly across from his team, watching Kevin Durant put on just a show. And he couldn't play. He wasn't allowed to play. And turns out the team was actually fined. So we'll talk about it. We'll get into it just a minute. Keep your shirt on. We're going to get into it in just a second. We're also going to take a look at this playoff picture. We're going to take a look at this playoff picture for the NBA. We're going to talk about, I want to look at the 7, 8, 9, 10 spots. I want to look at this play-in situation. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk, we'll just touch on Freddie Freeman, the Atlanta Braves, and we'll just move around in this whole sports culture. So without any further ado, I'd like to announce some of my commissioner's crew. I got G Rush in the building. I got DJ Unique in the building. I got Jay Reeske. Hey, Jay Reeske, man. I don't know what we got to call this blend of cigar, but I'm rocking with it. You did it, and you did it correctly. I give you much respect, brother.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you might call this one the commish.
hey, we can do it.
Yeah, I'm with it.
We can do it.
I got my cousin Matt right here.
What it do?
So, yeah, man, we're going to get into it. What I want to start off with
so
first.
That's our security right there. That's security.
They handle it all. What I want to do first, man, I want to jump right into this Kyrie Irving situation. So in case you don't know, if you haven't been following along, haven't been paying attention, what's going on is New York had this mandate ever since the pandemic that if you were an employee in public facilities, that you had to be vaccinated. It started out being everybody had to be vaccinated, whether you were an employee, whether you were a patron, no matter what you were doing, you had to be vaccinated to come into an establishment. If you wanted to come to an establishment like we are here at Blends 2, and enjoy yourself and have a cigar, and have a couple drinks, you had to show your vaccination card. But what they've done, they've lifted the vaccination mandates. So what ultimately happened is now people who are coming into establishments, you can patron an establishment, but if you're still an employee, you have to be vaccinated still. And so Kyrie Irving is basically considered an employee of the Barclays Arena in Brooklyn, New York. So technically, you can come in if you're on a visitor team. You play for Detroit, you can go into Brooklyn, you can play basketball, right? If you play for Washington and you're not vaccinated, you can go into Brooklyn, you can play basketball. If you're coming from your home to watch the game, you can go into Barclays Center and you can watch basketball. You don't have to be vaccinated. So what wound up happening is Kyrie Irving walked into the arena, sat down courtside, across from the team, unvaccinated, cheered his team on, and was unable to play. He's not able to play. Why is my question? Why? At what point? Even Kevin Durant had questions as to why Kyrie Irving was not able to play. Because if you're telling me it's a health issue, most of the people in the building aren't vaccinated. Some of the people on the court aren't vaccinated. But Kyrie, not being vaccinated and playing for the Brooklyn Nets, can't play in Brooklyn. It doesn't make any sense. Let me know if it makes any sense to you. Weigh in on it just a second, Matt.
So, for me, personally, it's actually doesn't make any sense at all. Because...
And this is coming from someone in the medical field.
I was going to say that, yeah, I am a medical professional. But, so, he's allowed to be around the team, and they're still employees when they go on the road. So... His chance of exposure is going to be high regardless. So I don't understand the rationale or reason to say that he can participate here, but he can't participate here, regardless of if he's an employee of the Barclays or not.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. And as far as – I don't even want to get into that COVID
talk. Well, I'll ask this question. I'll ask this because we talked about the health issue. He's probably, I would say, one of the more tested individuals in the world. I would just argue I'm sure he's taking a COVID test damn near every day because he's flying from arena to arena. The NBA knows he's not vaccinated. So they're going to make him go through all of these hoops. Just they're going to inconvenience the hell out of you if nothing else, just to make you say, damn, forget it, I'll get the shot. You know what I'm saying? So they know that he doesn't have COVID. He doesn't have the virus. Next question would be, would he actually be healthier or would it actually be safer for him if he was on the court and playing as opposed to being amongst the audience? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Honestly.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it really doesn't matter. But what I will say... To go to your original question, it probably would be just the sake of the questions to say that he would probably be better off with the team because, in a sense, you can kind of control or at least have an eye on who he's around, who he's been around, and,
right.
You know, blase, blase. But, you know, doing it the other way, you don't really truly have any control because, I mean, he can be around whoever, however, you know what
right.
I mean? So it just doesn't make sense. There's no other way to put it. They need to really look at it, look at the rules, because just from a medical standpoint, that doesn't make sense. That's just almost like me saying, okay, if I work for this company, when I go to this hospital, yeah, I'm okay to wear this mask and or not wear a mask or whatever.
Right.
And then when I go to this I go to this next unit, I got to do it. It's a different set of circumstances. It just don't make sense. It should be the same for all employees across the board. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the players don't understand. The owners, I'm not sure if they understand or not. The commissioner of the NBA himself has said that the rules don't make any sense whatsoever, but he's going to abide by them. I know, Matt, you and I have talked about why the Brooklyn Nets don't just pay the fine. Because there is such a thing that he could play in home games, but what happened is the city of New York would fine you. So what happens is the first one you get a warning, the next one is a $1,000 fine. And then it goes up incrementally until it gets up to $5,000, and it's $5,000 each time. Well, for guys like Kyrie Irving, for an NBA owner, that's a drop in the bucket. I would gladly pay that fine. But what I'm looking at is in terms of the commissioner and how he's answering a lot of these questions, he doesn't want to go against the city. He doesn't want to go against the government in these situations. So he's playing it close, and I think if Brooklyn decided, yeah, man, we're going to go ahead and just drop this money down and pay these fines, then he would block it just because it's not a good look. It sets a bad precedent, and it wouldn't be a good look for the league to just be anti-government.
Yeah, I can see that, but at the same time, just how – even in the NBA, you can see how different cities or different governments, however you want to, how they police certain things or what goes on. So to me, it's already kind of that way, if that makes sense, what I'm saying, because you got New York who's saying they're strict, especially the Brooklyn Nets. But then you can go to the Denver and it's...
Right, right.
It's no bets off. So it doesn't... That to me is like you're kind of going against the grain anyway. You're just kind of flowing with whatever works. But it should, to me, there should be something... Because to me, he's an employee of the NBA. I just, you know what I mean, versus the the Barclays.
Versus the
so
arena,
to me,
right.
I would think whatever the NBA deems necessary or what rules they apply, that should be what goes, in my opinion.
Well, I don't think he wants to go against, like I said, go against the government. And I don't think that's a fight that he wants to have. Like, I've come to learn that a lot of these guys that are in power in terms of ownership, basketball, football, baseball, these team owners, what they do is they value how they look. They value their legacy. And with him valuing his legacy, like you look at different commissioners, you know Paul Tagliabue for doing this, you know David Stern for doing that, for these separate things, nobody wants to be the commissioner that took on the United States government, that took on the science department, you know, that took on took on COVID. Nobody wants to have that on their rep. You want to be known as the guy who got international money, who expanded the game, who got, you know, who made it global, who got the most money, who did all this stuff. You want to have that on your rep sheet, but you don't want to be, like, looked at negatively. So I think once I think everybody's just playing it safe, sitting on their hands and hoping that the government, you know, pulls back on all the mandates, and then they say they can open everything up as normal.
But so true. But so just I'm sitting here thinking as you was talking. But let's just play it. I mean, I think the fact that it's just affecting essentially one person, one team, at Kyrie. But you know, if you think about it on a larger scale, if it was a Durant, a LeBron, and you losing dollars behind it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're talking about money. So if you're losing the money behind it, do you think or do you feel that at that point somebody else needs to step up and say, hey, we might need to talk about this?
Well, people were bullied into getting it. Like, I mean, despite what you think about the vaccine, whether it's helpful, whether it's harmful, whether it does nothing, whatever you think about it, they basically forced, like, the rest of the entire population. It could have been a choice. Maybe it should have been a choice, but it was damn near a requirement for most of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So in that, it couldn't have impacted the majority of the population, because there were some NBA players who came out and who said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to get this. But because LeBron came out and he said, I'm going to do what's best for me and my family, because other players have said, hey, man, I'm just going to go out here. The NBA said they want us to get vaccinated, so I'm going to go get vaccinated. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it because I don't want to miss this $15 million. I don't want to miss however much money that I'm making.
I'm not anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax whatsoever, but I believe that it should be choice. But then at the same time, you know, he didn't do anything wrong by sitting in the audience, because if you're in the audience, you ain't got to have a vaccine card. It's just that Kyrie Irving, I mean, I love him. I think he's a great player, but he bring a lot of baggage wherever he go. And he's been like that ever since. True. Ever since he been in the league. So I think if it was a Durant, like, they wouldn't have did that shit for James Harden either. He bring a lot of baggage. You feel me? But somebody like a Kevin Durant, all right, Kevin, we rock with you. You know what I mean? And he may take that hit because you don't have all that controversy. Kyrie, he team wrecker. The world is flat. You get what I'm saying? All that shit that's coming along with him, I feel like.
I call him the gift that keeps on giving. He's going to give you something. Exactly. Every so often, Kyrie going to give you one of those Kyrie-isms.
He's going to give you something. And, you know, so that may play a role as into the reason why, I'm not going to take this hit for him. You know what I mean? Because it really shows, I mean, I respect the fact that I believe a person got to have some type of integrity. You got to have, you got to stand for something. You feel me? If you don't stand for something, and, you know, it showed that I play basketball, well, not me, but him. You know what I'm saying? For the love of the sport and not just for the payday. So you respect him on that. But at the same time, though, I think he just need to be a little bit more humble with how he moved. Then he'll get different results from people.
Well, and I'm glad that you touched on something real quick, but I want to clarify that the team, the Brooklyn Nets, got fined not for Kyrie just being in the arena. They got fined $50,000 for him being in the locker room. They allowed him into the locker room, when technically he's not supposed to be playing at the game. So you only have you could only have the guys on your roster and a set amount of guys in the locker room. And so what he wanted to do, was come out Willis Reed style and have the whole crowd, you know what I'm saying, like Kyrie, Kyrie. He wanted to have that. He wanted to have that moment.
I mean, I just want to say, look, hey, why he can't just be a man who was what he said, what he want to do. That's what he don't do. He don't want to get the shot.
Right.
They still paying him. I mean, hey, but they said he shouldn't be in the arena, but he was in the arena without a mask on. He's in the arena chilling with who he was with. So, hey, what's the problem? They should let him play though, because other players don't have to. They don't have to do nothing. They're gonna play. The visiting players.
Right. The visitors don't have to. They don't have to be vaccinated.
That's
right.
why I don't make sense.
And
right. Don't make sense.
There's only a couple of places. I think it was New York City and it was the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, that were really enforcing these rules. It was only those two places. Everyone else was still rather free. Like we watched the governor of Florida basically tell some kids take some masks off. You know what I'm saying? So every place else is pretty wide open. And in those two areas, they're starting to pull back, but it's almost looking like it's a position of power, and they don't really want to relinquish that power.
But here's about sports. This was about, right?
Right.
And we talking about Kyrie and playing ball, right?
Exactly.
Kyrie had a choice, and he had no money to make the choice. We couldn't make that choice if we ain't had the money.
Right.
We would have played because we need the money to take care of our families.
Facts.
Bottom line, that's really what it's all about. But here's the ticket. If you come to really think about life, period, it always boils down to what your real intent is and how much money you can make off that intent. That's it.
True. But like I said, like I think Jay made the comment earlier that he's standing on his principles, and I applaud him for that because many of the guys have caved. They said, I can't go without this. And it started out in the beginning of the season, they were telling him basically, no, you're not going to play. You're not going to get paid. And he was like, cool. Like you said, he's built up enough money. He's saved enough money. He's been smart with his money that he could say, okay, I could take that hit this year. And he stood on it. But what wound up happening was that Omicron variant, I'm going to say Omarion, Omicron variant hit around Christmas, and it caught everybody. And the Nets looked around like, damn, we ain't got but like six players in this mug. Somebody called Kyrie. We'll take a part-time guy. We'll let him play part-time. And so that's the situation that they find themselves in now, but they're feeling that pressure from everyone, from the fans, to put him in the game. And they're still trying to stick to whatever this government mandate is that seems to right now look ridiculous.
But here's the BS, and you even just said it. When they look down that roster, they seen six cats, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they needed him. Right?
Exactly.
So they reached out, and they kind of waived all that stuff because they needed him or asked him to come back because initially they said they wasn't.
Right. They weren't going to let him be a part-time player.
Right. So my point is now that they don't, quote-unquote, need him, it's still an issue. Whereas before, what I'm saying is when the organization needed him, they called upon him.
Well, they still
hold on. What's his name?
From doing the championship.
What's his brother's name?
Matt.
It still came down to money.
And what kind of
no matter
that's
what you
point.
Say.
But see, that's
why
earlier.
I shut up. It still was about money.
That's
you
what
know,
I said earlier.
It didn't matter about what this black man felt as a principality of the matter. It didn't matter what that white man felt that I want to do this and that because it's my team. It came down to, shit, I only got six people on the field and I can't make money
and
do
it
by the rules.
And that's, yeah.
It was about
Agreed.
Money.
And so, Agreed. And to piggyback off of that, it's still about the money because what wound up happening is James Harden kind of threw off the mix. They saw him play with Kevin Durant, and they said, damn, that's what we got? They went on a run. They said, that's what we got? Okay. Well, let's see how far this thing goes. And now it's still about that money because now they're saying we could be – all we got to do is make the playoffs. We make the playoffs, we can go deep in this thing. But you're looking at a guy who can only play away.
Well, see, that's what I think is crazy now, because when Omarion, Omicron
see how contagious
but
that
you
is.
You can say Omarion because he was acting immature as a motherfucker, bro. You know what I'm saying? You spraying around to everybody. And then now, for his argument, the sake of his argument, it was like, why am I going to get vaccinated? Because niggas who vaccinated still catching it.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So with that being said, you might as well let him play. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, real talk. You just, I mean, if it's something that it don't matter if you vaccinated or not, you know what I'm saying? Let him play.
Well, but I mean,
he's in better health than probably any of us in here. You know what I mean?
That
so
we know of, like we
that we know of, yeah, that we know of, and you know what I mean. So his chances of his body being able to fight against it would be a whole lot better than
true.
The average person.
Commissioner Gordon.
We were talking a little earlier, and I made some jokes about Tom Brady. Tom Brady basically has said, after what I think 6 weeks of retirement,
like 42 days to be exact.
At 42 days, we'll call it 6 weeks of retirement. Tom Brady said, you know what, man, this football shit ain't that bad. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to go. And when I heard it, I referenced back to my guy Sam Mitchell. I did a lot of work with Sam Mitchell. He's a head coach, played in the NBA, coached in the NBA. And he would always tell me about, like, these different guys. Like, most recently it was, like, Jason Kidd, how Jason Kidd went from retiring basketball and went straight into coaching. Everybody like, damn, like, you don't want to sit home with family? He's like, bro, a lot of these dudes don't want to go home.
I finna say that. Yeah.
You don't want to go home, man, because you get home, you played in the NBA, you played in the NFL, you played Major League Baseball, you played in these places for about 15, 16 years, your kids growing up. You sit at home, you look around like, damn, I don't even know these motherfuckers. My wife is annoying as shit. Like, damn.
I couldn't agree if mine was in here. I couldn't agree.
Bruh, with every 5 minutes is something. You know what? Take my ass back to the goddamn football field.
Listen,
I'm going to get back out here.
I just had this conversation today, and it was that came up. Seeing them kids, like, you like, damn, I got to be a dad. I got to do dad shit now. And then that honey-do list probably went from here to probably down here.
How many times you think Tom Brady took out the trash?
Probably none. Before. So that's my point. That's my point. She was telling his ass. Giselle was like, you got to come get this trash. He was like, man, I ain't going to keep doing this shit. I'm going to go with those. He got a honey-do list.
He got a honey-do list.
And then on top.
If Giselle is there with him, yeah, she making him do something. His honey-do list might be different from ours.
List, but he got one.
But he got some shit he
got
to do.
He got one. And then on top of that, you know. Right. You got to look at, too, to keep him from a sports. You got to look at, one, the NFC. So you look at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start with Trey. So that's a unknown. You look at Green Bay. Well, they re-signed A. Rodgers, but Devontae said, I ain't playing on no franchise.
Hold up. With that, they signed Aaron Rodgers. $50 million? I think Tom said, should I get me a quick 50? Let me get a 50 piece.
Could be that too.
You know what I'm saying? They're giving out Aaron Rodgers. I discount, double check all the way to my damn.
I'm just saying. And that probably played a factor too. You gotta look at all that. Like, that's what I said. You gotta look at the NFC, look at the fact that they lost, and look at the honey-do list got too long. I mean, that's the only thing that makes most sense.
Well, it's going to be tough this year. Like, I can't lie. Like, they had half their offensive line retire. Got two other people that are free agents. They're going to have to do – Tom is going to have to do a hell of a job recruiting. Like, if he's coming back, he's going to have to do the recruitment job.
Right.
Well, because he took it on as his job. No. And because you asked why, and that's a valid question. Like, he shouldn't have to, but when you take it on as your job, they clearly start to lean on you. We can look at LeBron and say – LeBron shouldn't have to bring players to the Lakers, but that became his job. He became selling point.
But just like LeBron, Tom, people gonna want to come to Tom because he's gonna win Super Bowls. He's gonna win. So if you need an offensive line, hey, get them boys from Wisconsin, whoever you're going, get all them big boys and block for him. We're gonna block for him because we know he's gonna win. You know he got a winning mentality. So you want a ring? You want an easy ring like AB got? Hey, go down there and fuck with Tom.
Hey man. Tom Brady don't want nobody to come out of retirement.
He wants
some youth. Tom Brady don't want to surround himself with no old heads.
He don't want to get hit.
Right. My Grunk. Who? Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, but that, I think those type, Those situations are different, man. Right, when you got an offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's coming out. Who, you got young boys. These boys are better, faster, stronger.
Yeah. Right. When the offensive lineman quits, like, those are the type of players that usually play about 15, 20 years.
Right, right.
When, if that dude quit, it's because he waking up. He tired of hurting, dog.
Yeah.
He tired of, you know what I'm saying? He trying to, you talking about how you get wake up in the morning and you sit on the bed, side of the bed for about 15 minutes before you get up and put your shoes on. He tired of that, man. He like, listen, dog, I'm good. And because if it would have been a receiver, like Gronk got up and be like, man, I quit, because Gronk had other things. He had TV. He was doggone hosting New Year's Eve parties and all this stuff. He was the party guy. And when Tom said, hey, man, listen, we got out of stiff-ass New England. We got rid of Bill. Bill said we can't do this, we can't do that. We down here with Bruce. Bruce is kicking it. Bruce is doing like us. He going out here, you know, whatever. Grunt was like, okay, I'll come back. But now, Tom wants to be surrounded by guys who are in their prime. Like, he not doing the LeBron thing, like where he wants the old guys around him. And LeBron's been doing that for years. That's been LeBron's thing, because LeBron don't like practice. That's pretty much the reason why LeBron want old heads around him, because he don't like practice. And if I know you've been in the league 10 years. I know you've been in the league 10 years. You've been in the league 8 years. We know how to practice. So we just come in here and shoot around, and then we just, you know, play around, talk shit, and then we can go for the game. Tom Brady wants people who want to come in and work. He wants that people to come in and work, because he knows that if you put in this time, it's going to pay off in the end. It's going to pay off with that Super Bowl, like you were saying. Like, think about the speeches he probably gave those guys after they lost to a Denver, or, well, after they lost like a Buffalo or somebody. You said they lost in the playoffs. Think about the speech he gave those guys. To like, hey, man, we got to tighten up. We got to get ready to go out here. We got to win the Super Bowl. Nothing less than the best. And he inspired those guys. And it's going to be interesting to see how he shapes this team. Because at 45, to be in a locker room at 45 years old, and you are around at most, around like 25-year-old guys. I think the average player would probably be about 25 years old. Probably. It's like sitting there listening to your uncle.
One thing that I noticed, though, with Brady, and this from when he was winning with New England, he had a stout offensive line. Brady wasn't really getting hit like that. So Brady got his ass hit by 3 times last year and was like, oh, hold on, bro, this shit ain't You get what I'm saying? But then, like you said, he got a different type of honeydew list than us commoners have. You get what I mean? He was like, yo, I ain't built for this. But I really don't feel like – I feel like him coming back, Brady, because you had Vinny Testaverde. I don't know if y'all remember Vinny Testaverde. Mm-hmm. He played – he was like 44 years old. No Super Bowl. Brett Favre came back. He gave you that nice little 1 year in Minnesota, and then came back and – he was garbage the next year. It's like Brady, ain't nobody ever beat Father Time. You get what I'm saying? Father Time had never been beat. And I think next year, he going to find out.
I mean, yeah, but I think, honestly, if you look at where he was at the end of the season, he led the league in passing yards. And I think touchdowns, too. So I hear you when you say Father Time, because I thought it was going to happen a while back too. But one of the things I think that he's doing that people might laugh about, that pliability shit as far as his exercise and the workout, he don't need all that muscle. And by the fact that he's been more pliable, that's why he's able to play up until he's – because he can still – spin that, like you still see velocity when Tom throws.
Yeah,
like,
he ain't lost nothing.
No, and I know Peyton is different because he had a different type of injury. But and even with Drew Brees, you look at when they were on the higher end, they were like, okay, you done lost a little bit off your fastball. Tom's still spinning it, man.
But you know what though, that messed us up though. For us who Atlanta fans, when Brady ass sat down for them 42
hold on, hold
days.
On, hold on, hold on. Let's be honest, bro. I don't think that was going to impact us a whole lot. Like,
but Matt Ryan, when Brady sat down, we could honestly say Matt Ryan was the best quarterback in the NFC South.
I mean,
now Brady came back. Matt Ryan, It says, "Hey, I'm not a Matt Ryan fan, bro. Trust me."
So
I'm not a Ryan fan.
Right, right.
It's the bite, but Dan Marino is the same way.
But hold on, I wanna get a young lady's perspective on this, cause
she did it. She was fine with it. Here you go. Hold on, honestly, yeah. I bring it to you.
Yeah, I wanna get her perspective.
What you wanna hear my perspective on?
Well, let's start off, Will. How accurate? Because I said that honey-do list, and you jumped up like you think Tom Brady really got a honey-do list.
Right. Come on, like, really, do you think Tom Brady is taking out the trash? Do you think he taking kids to the daycare? He might have did that for a couple of weeks. But what has it been, like 2 months? 2 months but that he's just been retired?
I would say yes. And the only reason why I'll say yes is simply because Kobe passed away doing that. Kobe was taking his daughter to the game, to the practice. You're still taking your daughter to practice, but that's why I said it's just a little bit different because he found a way.
But why can't it be
that he could do the helicopter?
He just really missed the game, you know. Because my thing is sometimes, and I'm not a guy, but you hear the guys be like, "Man, I remember when I used to do the Al Bundy thing, where I used to have 42 touchdowns in whatever." And so him being that age. And still being able to be in the playoffs, still being able to throw the ball, still be able to do his thing, why not be able to go back and still do it? Because, again, at the end of the day, I think every person still has that Al Bundy mentality. Hey, man, I've been able – I remember when I could do this. And Tom Brady saying, "I remember when I could do that, but I still can do that. And I just left out on top doing that, so why not come back?" And you know me for the 40 and over crowd, I'm like, hey, if you can do that shit, do it. You know?
Why would you tap dance? I never said. I don't think he ever fully said, "I'm retiring." I don't know if it was ever just those words just come out, or he actually even filed the paperwork to retire. Yeah.
I don't know if it's attention, though, for Tom Brady, though. I don't think it's attention for Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady really is true to the game.
It might be attention, and the only reason why I say it's attention, because when it first broke that he retired, what was going on? It was Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
Which one is it? The Super Bowl that he made the Falcons look like shit? Is that the...
See how folks do.
I'm a Falcon fan. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, they made us look bad.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It still hurt to this day.
It still hurts. When I say it hurts, it hurts.
It's like one of those injuries that you know you old football injury. I got football injury. I got PTSD. Tom Brady. It won't go away. It's in my brain.
It won't go away.
but. When he first announced retirement, it was Super Bowl week, and everybody was going, like I said, everybody was talking about the young guys in the Super Bowl. Well, I say young guys because it was Joe Burrow, and it was Matt Stafford's first time being there. But he announced it then. And then here we are. It's Election Sunday. Everybody's glued to ESPN looking at who's going to be seated where. Duke is going here. Gonzaga's going there. And what happens, what comes across that ticker? Tom Brady has announced that he is not retiring. He's coming out and be back at Tampa Bay. You're like, damn.
I can take that. But is it that Tom Brady was the one who came out with the retirement? Because I heard more other people saying he was going to retire before he came out and said
And I think that's what happened. That's what kind of made it the whole issue. Yeah, because apparently somebody leaked it that was close to him, and he really was like, "Oh, let me take some time." Because remember, it first came out.
It was Adam Schefter.
I didn't say that.
Adam Schefter, his dad, came out and was like, "Tom didn't say that."
Yeah. So,
hey man,
right?
You can.
What happened? Do you get a?
Do you know what that ball is? That ball has been punted to somebody's roof because that man wasted his money. Who are you gonna get it back from?
Right.
Who are you getting it back from? Who are you going to get it back from? Tom Brady ain't giving you that money. Tom Brady is not giving you that money. That's bad. Your bad luck. Sorry. It
sure is.
Yeah. But bringing it back to Tom Brady. And bringing it back to you. So you're saying that you believe that Tom Brady strictly came back strictly off the love of the game. There's no possible chance that he looked around his house and said, man, fuck these folks.
Not necessarily that he might have not. I think it's when you look at, you know, at 44, you know, because like I said, I'm for the 44 and up crowd. I just feel like, you know, when you at that point, sometimes you know, people tell you, yeah, it's time for you to sit down. It's time for you to not do that. And Tom Brady's like, man, but I still got all this energy. I still got this passion for the game. I still can do it. And when I left out in a playoff. I didn't leave out like we were like
carried out on the stretcher or something. Yeah.
So again, so I think he feels like if for himself, I still got this. And I still think I can put a little bit more in there. Yeah, it might have been some stuff that he probably was like, you know what, whoo, I need to get out of here. But I think the majority of it is that he loves the game. He truly loves the game. And he feel like I'm not old yet, and I'm not going to let them put me in a category that everybody tends to put us in when we get to a certain age. And I think Tom Brady is like, I think I still got it.
Commissioner Gordon.
See, this the part where LeBron get the knock from me. I love LeBron, but this where he get the knock in situations like dealing with Westbrook. Like, nigga, Jordan would never have allowed this shit to happen.
No.
Is you out your fucking... I mean, excuse my language, but is you crazy, man? Like, Jordan would have nipped this all in the bud. You know what I mean? So that's a leadership thing.
So you saying the same thing I'm
and
saying.
That kumbaya aspect of LeBron is what's killing him.
Yeah. So Magic had the same temperament. Kareem had the same temperament. Larry Bird had the same temperament. Magic Jordan had the same temperament.
And that was the competition thing, and that's my knock on LeBron. Like the reason why LeBron has never participated in like a slam dunk contest or anything like that. We were talking earlier about this generation. This generation is scared to lose, so instead of taking an L, I just won't participate.
Nah, I ain't gonna say that about the dunk contest. I think he just know that he not a creative dunker. He's an athletic dunker.
Hold on, I believe
with the dunk.
Didn't he win the McDonald's All-American Slam Dunk Contest?
He did.
Because he can jump higher than all them other niggas who was in it.
Kobe at least got into it as his rookie year.
You gotta at least try.
He got flavor on the dunk. Think about how Kobe dunked. Kobe got lean.
You mean to tell me you don't think
LeBron
LeBron had to do go between his legs. Same shit he did in high school. Go between your legs and you win.
Bro, that's basic in the NBA, though.
He still would have won.
No, he wasn't. I'd have joined the shit right. Like that nigga, man. You can't do a between. Vince Carter did that 20 years ago, bro. No, we not ooing that no more. Them is eights across the board on the dunk contest.
Who was he going against? Stevie Francis?
If he'd have did that shit up against Aaron Gordon, he'd have got laughed out
well,
of the
Well, that was against Aaron Gordon.
That was Aaron Gordon.
He could have won and been retired. Been done out there.
I think he had the nastiest dunk in dunk contest.
Aaron Gordon was hard. We talked about that earlier, too.
Nah, that man laid down and put the ball under. That man was laying down.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Gordon. What? Yeah, that shit was nasty.
That was the name. I ain't know. But that man was about this high, laying down.
Right. That shit was nasty. D-Wade
yeah.
gave
him
an 8 or some shit, a 9.
D-Wade gave him a 9.
Yeah,
D-Wade gave him a 9.
It's absolutely impossible.
Right. So, I bring it back to LeBron just because I think that he epitomizes the generation of today.
The mentality.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to do it if I think I can't win it. You know what I'm saying? And that brings you back to the, okay, if I can't win it, then what I need to do? I need to go get Dwayne Wade. I need to go get Chris Bosh.
But to me, the reason you do this shit is for the competition.
That was a whole different generation.
But to me, it's like when I go hoop, I'm on a hoop because I want to compete. When I do shit, I want to compete. That's what an assignment is.
That's
competing.
What you want to do. But right. These dudes want to come back to the house and say, man, I just ran these niggas off the court. I had 9 games. I just got 9 up, 9 down.
That's it, bro. That's it. That's all the
you know what I'm saying?
Cap culture.
Yeah. I went out there. I was killing the other day. It don't matter that you scored 2 points per game. Yeah. It mattered that you won 12 games and you had 12 runs.
I like to compete.
That's what it is.
Well, we come from the competition. They come from looking like it.
Right.
Commissioner Gordon.
So what has happened?
It was later on before they even had free agency, though.
What has happened, and I really credit almost single-handedly Jay-Z. Because what he did in music spread throughout all black culture. When he was speaking on the ownership and just being in control of yourself, and contracts are made to be broken and renegotiated, and all that rhetoric.
Yep.
I first heard from Jay-Z.
That's going to be LeBron's legacy.
That shit went through everything black.
But he didn't really break
that. That's going to be LeBron's legacy, because I believe LeBron is going to be the one that goes out from being a player and ultimately becomes the owner.
Yeah, LeBron turned NBA into the rap game.
Right. I think that's his legacy. We talked earlier about like what is his legacy and what can you say and how you spin it positively. Like his legacy in terms of going from
the
player
money.
To the billionaire. Like Jordan made the game global.
He did.
There's no doubt about that.
He stretched popularity across the world.
There was nowhere that Michael Jordan could
Everybody wanted to be like Mike. Them folk couldn't even say like Mike. They wanted to be like Mike.
Right.
There was
How you say like Mike in that
And then when you have that type dude where you see him, he's visible all the time, and then he's the ultimate champion.
Yeah.
Right.
What you gonna say?
He's the ultimate champion and
competitor.
Yeah.
So you feel the championship.
So when he figured out how to like we talked about earlier, when he figured out how to win,
he had that bitch on the
chokehold. Toodles to you bitches. You know what I'm saying?
Try to win if you want to.
Because you heard what he said at the All-Star game. He told Magic, lace them up. Let's get it.
And he wasn't joking.
Right
he
now.
Wasn't.
Like his
Mike
face was.
Them old ass niggas, 63 years old, they would have been out there.
I'm going to
tell you right
popping.
Now. They put that bitch on pay-per-view. I'm watching.
Boy, every minute of it.
I'm watching. Man. If you going to sit here and show me.
I'm going to stream it on.
Yeah, I got Fire Stick. I figured that would boot anything.
Boy, you might well bootleg your own podcast because it's going down. These niggas going to find a way. You might well have your shit running while you doing your show, goddamn. Just fuck it.
Hey, you credit that to 50, man. 50 did it with the mixtapes back in the day.
He was leaking his leak.
Hey, he was.
But that mentality just took a hold. And like you said, part of LeBron's legacy is going to be that money. And not just the money, but the player motion. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely did that.
I definitely applaud that because they villainized your boy Rich Paul.
Salute his niggas for being competent enough to catch the alley-oop, though. Because how many times you try to put a nigga on their fuck shit up?
Like, Rich Paul, all them dudes, like.
Rich Paul done win. That man
They try to make that man the bad guy. They have tried ultimately, like, oh, well, he signed with Rich Paul. You know it's over. Like, goddamn, like he ain't doing nothing other than any other agent.
He's his own agent.
That's it.
First nigga come through here with a talking about, hey man, I'm gonna do a one and done. I'm gonna play a year with you and then I'm gonna think about it.
And since we've been talking about race all day, I really hate to bring this shit up, but they really hate that he got that white woman.
Let me tell you something. They've been talking about that shit every time they go somewhere. The crazy thing was, these motherfuckers said Adele didn't sound as good on his latest album.
Because she fucking went,
They said.
Because she got a black man.
But that's not what they said. They tried to attribute to a black man. What they said was, because she's skinny now, She
done lost her soul. You skinny bitch.
Yeah, you stop taking all that butter. you don't sound
when
as good
you were thick, you had that Aretha Franklin in
right.
You don't got skinny now. You sound like Celine Dion with your goddamn white girl ass.
That's a bug. That's all it is, man.
She went from Big Luther to Little Luther.
But right.
Big Luther to Little Luther.
That bitch still can blow. It's just the
hey,
fact
she can
stay with hey, look, side note, I know this is sports, but when you said that, but don't nobody talk about Luther, and Luther ain't in no conversation.
You need to be.
Yeah. What, the gay shit?
Yeah, I've been saying.
Because it was because he hid it, and it broke people hard. Cause boy, we thought you was putting a player in the game. What? Put that Luther on, but you, hey, I was too young to even be listening to Luther, and I knew he had it when he was singing that shit. I was seeing what he was doing to females. I'm like, look at them when he sang. But that Luther, that shit.
Luther.
And then, you know, it seemed like he left her down. My bad on the sports podcast. It just what he said.
Nah, you good because we here. We talk about entertainment. We talk about culture. We talk about music. We talk about shoes. Hey, we talk about fashion.
So who the number one in the game in the entertainment? Who is the number one box office attraction in all of entertainment?
Jay
Reese. All of it. Who number one? Is there a number
one? Is there a number one in the entire game?
Who's the biggest of them all?
Well, everybody's striving to be Jay-Z.
My opinion right now.
But it's folks music, got more bread than him. So I don't know that.
My opinion right now.
I think Jay is still like the most influential right now. Like whether you're talking about generational, he may not be the most relevant. Drake, I rock. 50? Really?
Y'all might not agree with mine.
Come on with it.
Mine is Lil Baby. Yes, sir.
Music-wise, yeah.
That's what I said. We said,
yeah, music-wise. We talk about entire entertainment.
He on his way, I say that. Yeah. He on his way.
That's what I said. When Jay sit there and say Lil Baby is, I fuck with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the baby too, but I'm just saying.
And that's why I say Jay, because Jay has been tapped into the music. Like, even when Jeezy was booming and Jeezy said, I'm your favorite rapper, he was talking about Jay-Z.
I might have to agree with you on that Drake shit, man.
I mean, yeah, Drake always.
I agree.
Drake always in the game. No matter what, top five.
Drake is hard as hell, but Drake understands that he can ride waves. Drake kind of ride waves of niggas that he's a visionary to where he can see a Lil Baby is dope, so I'm gonna get on this remix.
Are rappers the biggest entertainers?
Some because some of the good rappers aren't just rappers. They're rappers. They're actors. They're brand ambassadors, they're social media outlets. A good rapper is not just that music.
Right.
They transcend over to fashion. They transcend over to other cultures that you can
all
do.
All the complementary
right.
cultures that intersect.
But and with that being said, and we're talking about rap, black Americans is probably the most copied culture throughout the world.
Man, come on, man. You know that. How does music affect
sports?
Yeah, sports.
It's typical. It's like they said this. I can't remember who said that shit, but
I mean like that ain't even really what I want to say like what is the largest impact you can see in sports from music? That's right. What I want to say.
I just said it all bleeds over.
Business.
It all bleeds over.
Fashion.
When you can see, so like this, when you can see a James Harden and a Lil Baby
hanging
in Paris on Fashion Week.
Right.
Lil Baby catch a weed chart Jane Harden dipped.
But
baby handled it, and they don't even say nothing about it.
Right.
But what they say though?
I fuck with it.
That's
right.
What I'm gonna say too. Just like a lot of them, most NBA cats want to rap.
Yeah,
cats that rap want to hoop.
Right.
But nah, he just said something like rappers got shoes and shit. Like before, ain't nobody had shoes, but Jay-Z.
50 had some shoes.
And 50 had some shoes.
Yeah, that was it. I mean.
Man, hell no.
Nobody bought
they did
no
have
damn
them soldiery,
love.
Though.
Nobody bought
they had
lugs.
Them soldiery.
No. Nobody bought no lugs. Nobody bought them damn lugs.
Russell Simmons had them fat farms.
Fat farms, yeah.
Nobody bought fat farm. Nah, we're going to be honest.
Not the shoes.
Nobody bought, yeah.
You bust that sweater or something.
But they bought, hey, but they rocking them Yeezys.
But they rocking Yeezys.
They rocking them Yeezys.
Why? Them folk got them rainbows on.
Yeah, but Dion was ahead of his time.
Oh yeah, all of them.
Who we talking about? Prime?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's the goat.
Who facts, you telling?
Facts. That's the goat.
Honestly,
it ain't
I want to do this. I want to do this
it
one day.
Even.
I want to get a bunch of dudes, bunch of Atlanta niggas in the room. And I want to talk about Atlanta greats, like and rank them, rank them.
Do it
like,
now. Do it now.
I want to rank them.
You said do it now.
Yeah. What you mean, like athlete wise?
Athletic wise, like athlete. Yeah, definitely athlete wise. Yeah, because I want to go from like Dion,
Prime one,
Dominique, Mike Vick. I want to see where everybody is.
Prime one. In my
opinion. He's definitely
Prime number one. Prime number one.
Prime is number one.
Martin Luther King, number one, nigga.
We talking about athletes.
We said athletes.
Nigga, Martin Luther King used to run the 40-yard dash, boy. That nigga was fast.
I had a dream. I beat you
that nigga
from,
for Ed Wood, boy. That nigga fast.
Yard line to yard line. You
y'all better do y'all research,
me.
Boy. MLK
hey, real
had
talk. If MLK had a shoe.
Hey,
cause he did a lot of walking,
but if MLK, but ain't that the most logical product for MLK?
Hey, you got them Kings on,
hey,
boy.
They got them
boy,
Selmas
I
on.
I want a pill right now.
I'm paying them Kings, boy.
They got them Selmas on. I'm telling you,
them Kings. But them Selma King, them Selma King threes. Boy, I got those Selma King 3, buddy.
The Birmingham.
I got that Laker colorway.
They got them lunchroom.
Hey, I got them dumps, the Montgomery's, them gumps.
Yeah. Them back of the bus levels.
Got them water hose tools
hey,
on.
Hey, boy.
That boy said the back of the bus levels.
Yeah,
boy. Them levels. You know what I mean? Like, what's a levels?
If King had a shoe, boy, you rock them Kings, boy.
Hey, they have to be a dress shoe. You got to.
Hey,
niggas
they can still.
Them niggas weren't
hold
rocking
on,
no chucks.
Hold on,
though, you know
that can really happen, though. Somebody,
right.
Somebody need to hear this. Damn, we need a
Hank
patent
Aaron.
Person.
Hank Aaron is another
Hank
one.
Hank might be two.
Hank Aaron is another one. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Hank might be
like,
two.
Yeah, there's an underdog to all this, because niggas don't know how much Atlanta niggas love Jesse Tuggle.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Jesse with that name.
See what I'm saying?
Tuggle
Jesse
was that
Tuggle.
Dude.
Yeah,
see what I'm
right.
saying?
Jesse.
And he was trying to bring it home. I seen him, you know, coaching his son.
My boy Bob Whitfield, man.
See what I'm saying? It's
Bob is behind a lot of this music shit.
Bob got the studio.
Damn near wouldn't he have no Atlanta scene if it wasn't for Bob. Nigga, Bob.
Yeah.
They put the check behind all this
saying?
Shit for real.
So it's I want to that's something for the future. For the future, I want to put together something that we can do and we can all get together. I want all of us that are here right now. I want to have us all here plus others so that we can come together with a top 10 of Atlanta's sports scene. And we can go through it because, like I said, we have Dion, we got Jesse Tugger, we got Mike Vick.
We got Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper Lou. Where does Matt Ryan make the list?
Hell no.
See what I'm saying?
You going to five or 10?
I'm going to 10.
He might not make it.
No. He ain't going
to
make
it. If we go to 500.
Wait a minute. How the hell do you ask? He might be lying to 10. And I say 10, he said, he might not make it. Was he going to make the 5?
Hell no, I just want to make sure how far he was going at to see.
That ain't far enough, damn it.
Right. He might be 11.
Yeah, if you're talking Atlanta sports, he might not make that first 10.
That's what I'm saying. I need to see how far.
But I will argue, Matt Ryan is probably the most infamous motherfucker in Atlanta sports.
Facts.
He ain't. Ward Dunn is.
How?
That nigga Matt Ryan ain't showing up at no club, bro.
Right, but how? Hold on,
neither did Julio, but y'all niggas like him.
Because niggas don't remember he played for Atlanta.
You have never heard somebody say, hey, nigga, I was in goddamn Magic City and Julio Jones was going
to play. A lot of niggas don't even remember.
And Julio wouldn't even make top 10.
Niggas know him from Tampa Bay.
See what I'm saying?
Julio wouldn't make top 10.
See? He played for Atlanta. That nigga was hard.
Because, to be real, he wouldn't make top 10 because you got to, half of that 95's Braves World Series, he ain't going to make the top 10.
Boy, what? David Justice, Otis Nixon, Deion Sanders, Ron Gant. Oh, my God. Tommy Glavine.
Terry Pendleton.
Terry Pendleton. Oh, my God.
You forgot one. You got Fred McGriff, the crime dog.
That was the squad.
You forgot one. Gant. You forgot Ron Gant.
I said Ron Gant.
Oh, but you forgot one.
Oh, cocaine, Otis Nixon.
But you got. Hey.
Yeah, I said Otis Nixon. You can't forget Snorty and Shorty.
That nigga was on that shit.
Okay. You know who gonna make that top 10 though?
That boy, hold up. Nixon. Another one.
Mookie
Street
Blaylock.
Nigga out there playing baseball.
And Steve Smith.
Mookie Blaylock. You gonna say Mookie Blaylock? You gonna say Steve Smith?
But you know who gonna make my top 10?
Joe.
My boy, who gonna make the top 10? Goddamn.
Google it.
Goddamn Sid Breen, baby. Coming around third. Wasn't for Sid Breen, because he was out.
So that's what I'm going to do. We're going to put this together because right now it's right at midnight. I got to get Reese Boogie to the crib. Yeah, and we're going to go ahead and start setting this thing on down. So for the next up-and-coming one, we're going to talk about Atlanta GOATs.
Atlanta GOATs, baby.
Atlanta GOATs.
I like that.
And we're going to rank them top 10. We'll go top 10, but we're probably going to wind up going more than 10. We're live every Monday, Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue in Hayteville. I encourage you to join me. I am Commissioner Gordon. I got the Commissioner's crew. Shouts out to DJ Unique. Shouts out to my guy G Rush. Shouts out to my engineer, DJ Reese Boogie. Shouts out to Matt from Atlantic Clothing Company. Shouts out to Lico Brown. Shouts out everyone here. Until next week, I'll holler.
Okay, bye.